This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help, 954-966-4646.
By the way, before I continue with Marcel, a lot of you out there are fucking stupid as shit. Like, you're really ignorant, okay? Now, understand what I'm saying about Caleb Martin. I say he has the skill set to be a star. I didn't say he's a star. I didn't say he's playing like a star right now. I'm not saying he's going to be a star or anything like that. Because I know 5 months from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, one of you morons will say, oh, you said he was a star. Never said he was a star. Just said he has the skill set. He has the moxie that he could be the one guy out of this entire group. If anybody's going to develop into a star, it'll be Caleb Martin. It will not be Tyler Hero. It's not Bam Adebayo. And it's not Gabe Vincent. Caleb Martin, in my eyes, is the only guy that has a chance to really be a star. Will he be? I have no idea. We'll see. But he does have the skill set, and he plays on both sides of the court. So that's why I say it, okay? Not saying that he is. Understand English. Some of you are too freaking stupid to understand English. Marcel, good morning. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. I'm great, you know.
I just gotta, you gotta straighten it, because, you know, some of these people, they get a little crazy, and then they don't listen to what actually people are saying, and then they go running and, oh, you said this. Nope, never said that, idiot. You didn't listen. So anyway, are you enjoying the basketball or hockey at all? What are you doing? While you're here in Miami, are you on the bandwagon?
Man. Look, I wanted to try to maybe sneak and find a couple cheap tickets for last night's game. You know, I started looking right after tip-off just to see how far they would drop. Man, the cheapest ticket I could find was $879 in the 400s or whatever, the top.
Have you ever been to a hockey game?
See, now there's Haley is coming into town tomorrow. We plan on going to game 3 or game 4 on Wednesday.
I knew she was the smarter one out of
way
you two.
More reasonable. Don't make me get up and go get my Panther sweater, man. Like, hold on a second. Respect me a little bit here. I watched the
okay, a little bit. That doesn't mean I'm not going to give Haley more credit than you.
I watched the game the other night. Perfect execution on the power play. Beautiful assist to set up Tkachuk there. I don't know very much about hockey, but I know a beautiful assist when I see one. And that was it. So yeah, I think I need some advice. I need some advice with the hockey game,
because gets the assist on Haley. Who introduced you to Haley? Who gets the assist?
You didn't introduce me to Haley.
I did. I'm not asking me.
Hey. We're not gonna sit here and cap.
Who introduced you to your better half here? Who?
I did. She did. So there are conflicting reports depending on who you ask. She will say that I hopped into her DMs. I will say that she responded to a photo of an arepa that I put on Twitter and asked, where can I get one of these? And so then I DM'd her and said, like, this is where it is. Also, welcome to Miami. We conversed from there and hung out a couple days later. And, you know, the rest is history. So did I go into her DM? Technically, yes. I will forever say I was invited. I'll forever believe I was invited.
He doesn't work at ESPN, so you're good. You're good.
I will forever believe that I was invited.
If you were sliding into DMs of a coworker, now we got some problems. See, you wouldn't be telling that story if she was a coworker.
No, we would I make something else up, but then no. This was clean. This was fine. But I will say though,
well, my point is, by the way, you will not be spending a fortune because there are some tickets. There's a couple tickets left, I heard, for hockey. It's not completely sold out yet. So actually, you won't pay an arm and a leg, and you'll enjoy a great experience. Hockey live is freaking awesome.
No, this is what I was saying. So the only time I've been to FLA Live, we sat in the lower bowl. Actually, I've been to two hockey games as an adult, and I've sat lower bowl both times. And tell me if I'm off base here. I think I would rather sit up high because I feel like I can only see directly in front of me through the glass, and it's all distorted when they go the other way. So they score, and I'm just waiting on the reaction, and I have no idea what's happening. I feel like the upper decks, I'll at least be able to see. I can't see the puck, but I can't see the puck on TV either. So,
you can see the puck, but I get what you're saying. You get to see the play develop and all that stuff a little higher up. I get what you're saying. I kind of love rink level because, you know, the physicality, and you kind of feel the game a little bit more when you're in the lower bowl, especially when you're up against the glass. Those are the best seats in the house, up against the glass. But I get what you're saying. A little higher up where you get to see the play develop and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So, like, we can get third level ticket. I'm not paying no $300 for each for lower bowl seats. Like, I'd rather watch the game on TV, with all respect to the Panthers. But 150, like, I can get 300 level for like 140 to 170, give or take, right now. I just need to know, is that outrageous? Is that totally absurd? Or is that like the playoff tax coming into play?
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
I just need to pull. I need to pull the trigger because it's that, and then of course, got to deal with parking and all that too. But like,
Park in the mall.
Super playoff game.
For the hockey games, you park in the mall. For the basketball games, maybe you take the metro rail.
Honestly, I live so damn close to the Heat arena. Whenever I go to games, I usually walk. Right.
Can't you go on the metro rail from where you are at?
Technically, yeah. I feel like walking would be almost the same amount of time. It depends on the weather.
Wow, but, you live that?
Yeah, nice. I would take like the school board, hop on a school board station, and then get off. I don't even know where I would get off, but I would rather just walk. I'd rather walk. I've never actually taken the light rail here. I would rather walk or Uber.
The Metro Mover will leave you right there if you can, because I know you live down in that area, so that's actually very convenient, and you'll save yourself a boatload of money for parking.
Yeah, I mean, I saw something on Bayside yesterday. It was like $100 flat rate to park. It's crazy. Like crazy, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you're better off. In your case, you're golden, dude. You live right in the area, so taking the Metro Mover is actually the winning move. For you to go to a Heat game. And then in the Panthers, you just park in the mall. So screw that. You save yourself some money there too at the same time. All right. OTAs. I saw the Wolfmeister tweeted out that Van Ginkgo is being moved inside. I'm wondering if he'll bring back the pads he used to wear in Wisconsin. Did you ever see his pictures in Wisconsin?
No,
like he has big ass pads. I don't know if you can pull up, Sean, if you can find an Andrew Van Ginkle Wisconsin big pad picture. But I'm wondering if he's going to the middle. Does he bring back the bigger shoulder pads that he used to have in Wisconsin? But your thoughts on moving him inside?
I mean, they're not thin outside. They have players that are going to be prioritized at edge rusher beyond him. He might not get as many snaps. They are kind of unproven and thin at inside backer. Jerome Baker is back, obviously. They signed David Long as well. They're waiting for Channing Tindall to kind of click and for the light to turn on there. But this might be either one. This might be the best way for him to get meaningful snaps, Van Ginkle. Or two, this could be them developing a hybrid linebacker who can play on the edge and play inside. You know, it helps alleviate what's kind of a lack of depth still at the linebacker position. I'm looking forward to seeing it. This was new. Shout out to Cam for the report. It's not something I think we had been told or seen in I guess we haven't even seen practice since January. So when would we have seen it? But I'm looking forward to checking it out. It's kind of hard to judge it now. You got to, like, this is where he's going to be able to develop his instincts. I see with the big blades. This is where he'll be able to develop his instincts. But obviously there's no thud because they're not wearing shells. It's the t-shirt and shorts Olympics.
Yeah. 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 So it's funny. Because I remember he used to wear the big pads in Wisconsin. So, and I wonder, you know, one of the things I like about Van Ginkel, he has that knack of being around the football. So if somehow or another he can make his way to playing middle linebacker, I don't know how he fits there. That's the one thing, because he kind of really looks to me like more of an outside guy than an inside guy. But I know he's not afraid to get his, himself dirty a little bit, playing inside.
I think it's a testament to how this team feels about his football IQ that they feel like, okay, like instead of, which edge rusher, I don't want to say it's the easiest position on the field, but like you have really, you got two tasks as an edge rusher, right? Go get the quarterback or contain the quarterback. This is a testament to his football IQ, saying, okay, we trust you and run support there in the middle of the field. We're going to trust you to drop back and pass coverage as well. Like, I'm excited to see it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I like Van Ginkel. I think he's one of the more unheralded players on this roster. He's not, you know, doesn't put up the eye-popping crazy stats, but he's very fast off the edge. He's a good depth player. He's a good rotational edge rusher. It was a good move, I think, to bring him back for another, I think he signed a 2-year. It was a good idea to bring him back this offseason. And he's one of those integral, like him and Sealer, although I think Sealer is a better player and more, I guess, more critical of a role in this defense. But they're two of those players that, like, you don't really want to let them hit free agency. They might not be household names, but you don't want to let them out the building.
Do we know, or do you know, anything about some of the injured guys from last year? Needham and Trill and Brandon Jones and some of these cats that obviously are coming back from injuries, where they stand and what kind of participation are we expecting from them so far? Where are they in their rehab process as they get ready for this upcoming season?
Well, Trill's ACL tear was about 9 months ago. Would expect to see, you know, maybe not. I don't think he's ready for teamwork right now. I don't think he's ready to be a full participant. I would expect to see him off to the side. Brandon Jones was running laps around the field in December. So I would expect Brandon Jones to be ready at some point this spring or summer. Nick Needham, on the other hand, Achilles tears. I know Cam Akers came back, you know, relatively fast. I think Amari Rodgers came back pretty fast. It was an ACL. So Cam Akers came back pretty fast. Those are usually 10 to 11 months. He's not in that frame yet. I wouldn't expect to see Nick Needham yet. This is a prime opportunity, I think, for Kader Kohou and Cam Smith to kind of duke it out for that nickel back role until Needham is back. If we do see him, I think it would be an impressive feat and a testament to his rehab and his hard work. Because, I mean, he tore his Achilles in, I believe it was October. Mm-hmm. So that's 7 months ago,
mm-hmm.
give or take, 7 months ago. He's still about, you know, based on the average recovery time, he's still a couple months away, I think, from really being able to fully participate. But we'll find out tomorrow when we talk to Mike for sure.
Yeah, and Austin Jackson, I think, and who's the other injured guys that we're looking at to see where they're at this point? Because I think that's kind of one of the things. I'm sure you guys are going to want to look at formation on defense for Fangio and who's lining up where, how he sees it right now, and those kind of things. But I think the other storyline is, where are some of these injured guys? Because obviously, you know, Eichenberg and Jackson and then those secondary guys are incredibly important to the either starting or the depth for this team.
Yeah, no, I think Jackson, we haven't heard anything about him not being ready to play. Same with Liam. Emmanuel Agba should be cleared to go. Who else are we forgetting here? I would expect Teron Armstead to be there as well. I still feel like there's one we're forgetting.
I think Teron Armstead will be wearing shades, looking cool, hanging out on the sideline.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're not going to go, you know, he's not going to, just like last year, he wasn't like a full participant. I know he's still coming back from like a knee injury, but.
Is he the coolest dude on the team?
He's 10 years in.
Is he like the coolest dude on the team?
He is. He's a cool dude. I'll give him that.
Right? Like, I know Tyreek is fun. So it's a different kind of thing we're talking about. I don't think that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about Teron Armstead is like cool and smooth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Just like he's one of those guys that doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. And there's something to be said about that, like the even-keeledness.
And there's a confidence, and there's a smile, and there's a swag, and there's and then he just looks cool. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you, he's got coolness all over him. He's like, to me, he's the coolest guy on the team, actually.
I think he's a cool dude.
He's like the guy that knows how to handle everything. You know what I'm saying? Right. And nothing phases him ever, bro. Like,
he's definitely a grown-up. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't any others in the locker room, but like it's a very mature, grown presence about him. So, it's good for the locker room. It's definitely good for the locker room. I still don't expect him to be, you know, to be a full participant. So that's and that's where things might get interesting. This
I don't want him to be a full participant, yeah. Bro.
This is where things might get interesting, because somebody's got to play left tackle if Teron isn't. And so how is that going to warp, you know, the position battle at right tackle? Like, if they're using Isaiah Wynn at left, or you know, maybe the third guy out from the three who are competing at right tackle, maybe the third guy out kicks the left tackle. That's kind of how I feel like it should be. But I would expect both Aguehi and Wynn to get work at left tackle if Toronto. Well,
You bring up a great point. That is something to watch throughout this mini camp into training camp in the preseason. Who's playing left tackle outside of Teron Armstead, to see who's going to be the main backup to Teron, because unfortunately, you know, Teron is going to miss a game or two or three, and you're going to need that person, whoever is being groomed. That person will play this year. I hope not, but unfortunately, it's kind of been the MO with Teron.
Yeah, it's, and again, testament. That's favorite word this segment, but it's a testament to Armstead's impact when he is on the field and off the field, that like they had no problem giving him that money, knowing he's probably going to miss time. He was hurt in the literal first game of the season last year, and he soldiered through the rest of the year. But even if he doesn't play three games, he misses three, four games, the 12 that you're getting, you are getting a top 3 to 5 left tackle in the NFL. Like, he is that good. So, but again, like, his injury, his history is his history at that point. I don't like to speculate that players will be hurt, but his history, he's missed, I think it's 9 of his 10 seasons, he's missed at least 3 games in each of them. So, like, history will tell you that you need to have a viable backup plan, and I think the Dolphins did that this offseason.
And the other thing that I'm going to be intrigued on when I go to practices is I want to see how they're working these tight ends, because you've got getting Higgy with it and Tanner Connor with that outside off the line tight end battle. And then you've got the inline battle with obviously Salbert and Croft and the incumbent, of course, the veteran, Smythe, you know. So I'm really interested to see how McDaniel is working it, because he doesn't have his ideal tight end. He doesn't have the one guy that's a monster blocker and a monster pass receiver like he had in San Francisco. And he wanted, and they tried to even get Waller and all that. So they wanted a guy like that. They haven't been able to find it. So now they've got like two kinds of tight ends on the team. It'll be interesting to see how he weaves that tight end into the offense.
Man, what would have to happen? What would have to happen for Brock Bowers to fall into the Dolphins' range in this draft? I think about it. I've thought about that a lot, like ever since the college football season ended. Like, damn, man, if there was a way somehow for Brock Bowers to end up in this offense, I think it would be a perfect offense. Like, I think they'd be perfect. I'd have no notes. I have no complaints. But that guy's going to go top 10 next year. Like, the only way is for
– But I'm hoping the Dolphins can go to the Super Bowl, so
– There's the trade-off.
Yeah, screw the top 10, okay? So,
but,
yeah.
Damn, Brock Bowers would be perfect in this offense, man. It'd be perfect. That's the George Kittle that Mike McDaniel's been looking for.
Mike McDaniel wants that two-way guy, but, man, it's going to be hard.
I would love to see – you know, I just for the personal enjoyment of the story itself, I would love to see Tanner Connor really take that next step this year. He was so electric last year in team drills during the summer. And it just didn't translate in game. Like it didn't.
I like getting Higgy with it. Did you see the conversation with Terrell Owens that he had?
No.
You should look it up on YouTube. Higgins and Terrell Owens interview. The Higgins kid, I love his maturity, bro. I love his intelligence. Obviously, he went to Stanford, so he's smarter than I am, or smarter than I ever will be. But you just the way he carries himself, really like him, man. That kid, you know. And I saw his highlight reel and watched some of his stuff there at Stanford. That's gonna be a Let me tell you something. Our boy Tanner Connor is in for a world of competition with that guy.
Yeah, no, it's going to be – I tweeted out a thread of just things that I'm looking for, you know, the next couple weeks. We only get to see a handful of these. But the battle of the converted tight ends was one of them. I want to see Higgins versus Connor. Connor, like, they value Tanner Connor enough that he was on the roster – yeah. As a undrafted converted guy last year, as like a fourth tight, like he was on the 53, like it wasn't a practice squad guy.
Greer said he got calls that people were actually asking for him, and so they knew if they put him on the practice squad, he was gone. So they didn't want to do that.
So like
they must love him to hang on to him that long.
Yeah, that's why I'm not ready to say, oh, Higgins is a draft pick, like he's automatically got the leg up. They value Tanner Connor a lot. He showed real promise last year as just a big play receiving threat. Just need to see him stay healthy and need to see him as a inline blocker before we speculate any further on where he's going to be. But as a receiver, like, the guy was a big play waiting to happen. He and Skyler tore up, you know, scout and practice team.
It's just that get Higgy with it is he's more polished. And that's where I feel for Tanner Connor. Because Tanner Connor, you can tell, is still kind of green. Whereas this dude, I get a feeling this dude's going to make a quicker transition to the NFL than what people expect. I just that when you move the way he moves and you're as smart as he is, I really like your chances. So it's going to be – I'm really intrigued with that battle.
Tight end is already it's the hardest position to go from college to the NFL. It's the hardest position there. So to do that and have to be learning the position as you go, it's understandable why these are probably multiple year projects each. I don't think, I could be surprised, and you know that I would be ecstatic for him if this is the case, but I would be surprised if Higgins comes in and is ready to be an impact player right off the top.
From what I saw in the highlights and the way he runs routes, I'm opposite of you. I'm not going to be surprised if he actually makes a transition. That's how impressed I am with that young man. Really like him. I was like, wow, this is – I saw it and I go, wow, this guy lasted all the way till then. Interesting. I know he had a couple drops, but outside of that, I really like what I see from that player, man. Really do, man. I usually watch the interview with him and T.O., man.
Yeah, check it out. As soon as we get off this, I'll go check it out.
Love his vibe, bro. Love his vibe. All right, what do you got going on ESPN so Dolphins can check you out, man?
Oh, this is it. It is OTA, OTA, OTAs, man. Like, whatever we see, whatever pops up and stands out on Tuesday, be writing about it almost, you know, as soon as possible, as soon as we can get it out here at ESPN. We've got real football again. We've got real quantifiable things to pick apart, not just speculation. I mean, it's going to be still some speculation, but at least, you know, it's something on the field that we can draw off of. So I think that's going to be exciting. Get to talk to Mike again for the first time in maybe a month or two since the draft, so about a month. But I think it'll be refreshing. This time of year always is, you know, it's just like that little taste, little sprinkle of football before the long break from end of June to end of July, and we have really nothing to talk about. This is that last little bit. So enjoy it, Dolphins fans. Like, we are almost there, 4 months away from kickoff, man. Less than that, a little less than 4 months away from kickoff. It's incredible.
I'm with you. Follow him on Twitter, Marcel_LJ. Marcel, as always, appreciate you. We'll catch up later on in the week, my friend, and we'll get a recap of what you saw this week. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Peace.
You got it. Marcel Louis Jacques, baby. Welton Realm, bankruptcy, personal injury, commercial litigation, condo damage, criminal defense, bankruptcy. They will take care of you. Homeowner property damage. Don't deal with those insurance companies. They just want to give you the runaround. They're not going to take care of you. Call the people at Welton Realm. Free consultation. Call Jeff Welt right now. Daniel Realm and Jeff Welt. Welton Realm, 954-966-4646. Ask for Jeff. Tell him that Big O sent you. They'll take care of you, man. Great people. They took care of us. They crushed Progressive Insurance for us. Progressive was screwing us over. And these guys said, nah, 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 nah. So don't make the mistake we did, because, you know, the wife goes, no, I'll call him. All right, go ahead. You know, go ahead. And then when she was all frustrated because I said, you see, I told you, you got to call the lawyers first. So don't be stupid. Don't do the mistakes we did. Don't be dumb like we are. Okay, we were dumb. Sorry, honey, I love you. But we were dumb. And she thinks she can take care of everything. And sure enough, the lawyers know the laws. You and I don't. That's what I was trying to explain to my wife. And Jeff and Dan crushed their asses. They got one of the people fired from Progressive. That's how much they kicked their ass. Okay? It's like Spo out coaching all these fools. Same. That's what Welton Realm do. They just outcoach these fools. That's what it is. And then they get the money for you. So call them 954-966-4646. Wherever you're at in Florida, free consultation. You don't even have to visit the offices if you don't want to, man. Except maybe to pick up a check. 954-966-4646.
This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Realm. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Realm, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Realm handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Realm can help, 954-966-4646.
All right, there he is, locked and loaded. How you doing, my man? You doing good?
Doing what? Great, man. Doing great. Still coming down from the emotional high of last night's win. You know, that was only the third hockey game I've been to as an adult. Ironically, all of them have involved the Panthers. I went up to a Sabres game in Buffalo, and they were playing the Panthers. But that was the best. We bought last-minute tickets. They had risen a little bit, and then we managed to find them a little cheaper on another site. Seats were great. Seats were great, man. Like for 300 level tickets at a stadium.
Oh no, that arena has almost everywhere is a good seat, bro. Yeah.
That was the first time I've ever been able to follow the puck.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. No, that the way they designed that, they designed it to be a hockey arena. And it's impressive, dude. It really is.
Yeah. So that was great, man. Like, that was really cool to see. Tkachuk is the best hockey player I've ever seen with my own eyes. That's not saying a whole lot, but he's pretty freaking good as far as I know.
Yeah, he's a badass too, man. Badass. Yeah.
Three game winners in one series.
Yeah, cojones. It's what they needed. Man. It's what they needed. They needed a bad mofo. Last year, I was like, yeah, Huberto and Barkov, they're too passive. They're too nice. You need a mother effer. And then that mother effer, it trickles down to everybody else. And so if he's willing to fight, scratch, claw, instigate, whatever it is, then everybody else better be ready to... You know, if he's willing to dive on the floor, on the ice, to anticipate a shot and block the shot, and he's willing to sell his body out, you know, that's, you know. And by the way, there's no doubt, right? Toughest players in all of pro sports are hockey players, not football players. Yes.
I was just talking to Haley about it. I think hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in
yes,
sports.
Yes, not even close.
But I think hockey is the hardest sport to play.
The toughest.
Because you have to be one of the best skaters in the world, and you have to be able to handle a puck or handle a stick. So, like, yeah, that's a lot of things that I'm physically unable to do, bro. Like, I am still struggling with the concept of how you get the puck to go upper 90 like that. I guess I saw a hockey stick up close like a year ago, and I guess it's a little at an angle.
Yes, it has a curve.
Like a flat. Yeah, it's got a curve to it. I was like, okay, never mind. That makes perfect sense then. But I'm late to the party, but man, that was cool. I definitely, if they're appropriate, tickets are appropriate, definitely going to a final, one of the Cup final games.
Well, yeah, right? Yeah. It's the Stanley Cup finals. Yeah, that might be a little overpriced, my brother. That one, you know, the bandwagon is on now here in South Florida. So the money is coming out.
My local team, supporting my lifelong favorite team.
Yep.
The Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. Always have been.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know. They weren't horrible. It was like – 170 each.
No, that's not bad. That's not bad, bro. That's not bad, actually.
The damn Heat tickets were the 400 level, which is a bad seat.
Yes.
The 400 level at whatever the hell we're calling that stadium.
Yes.
That is a bad damn seat. I will never do it again.
Kaseya,
I would rather. Yes. That's lower bowl, or I'm staying home.
No, yeah. You're better off. Anyway, hockey's better live, and then all the other sports are better on television anyway. So, you know, you did the right thing. And plus, you know, where we're at right now with basketball has grown so much in this town. Hockey's a ways away from that. But if they continue on this pace and you have a Tkachuk here playing like this for the next couple of years, then, yeah, the prices for hockey are gonna skyrocket, because it'll become more of a thing for people to go to hockey games down here in South Florida. But yeah, there's no doubt, man. Toughest dudes in sports is definitely hockey players. All right, so let's get to a little Dolphins. I thought it was really interesting. You know, every year you see things that coaches try to add to try to get an edge in their coaching and try to make themselves better and players better and those kind of things. And, you know, one of the things you would see is cameras on the field on top of these, you know, whatever, things that are lifting them up and filming everything. And then some of the things that they've done over the years now is in individual drills and things like that, there'll be an individual person with a camera up close filming all of that. And so coaches want to get a look at all the individual stuff too, up close, not just from a wide angle shot up above and all that. And so now we saw, you know, Tua having a camera on top of on the helmet. And to me, obviously, this is another coaching tool for them. So your thoughts on you know, how technology continues to kind of become a bigger and bigger part of practice every single day?
It's 2023. It's 2020. If you have, like, what damage does it do?
None.
You know what I mean?
Awesome.
Like, what does it hurt? If you have the technological capabilities, and you can put the damn thing on top on the side of the helmet. Why not? Because this way you could see. Okay, you, when asked, "Hey, what did you see out there?" Or if you make the wrong read, you've got the first person angle to see. Yeah, this is. I saw this, this, this. I saw him starting to slide over. I saw him spying on this. Like it makes perfect sense. I don't understand why it was. You know why it was such a big deal this morning or last night, whenever it came out?
Because
it was such a big deal. Because some of y'all let that one dude with 6,000 followers on the internet get under your skin. The TD Fence talk.
Oh,
wrote it off as some gimmick, as some unnecessary.
Oh, I see. I didn't know.
Perfectly natural thing to do. It makes
is that
sense
is that was that what it is? So
that's what I saw.
I mean, yeah, I know. They've told me about that fan that does YouTube, but I mean, whatever, bro. It's a fan doing YouTube. Big deal. He has zero insight on what's going on with the team. But again, people, you know, they. I don't know why they follow trolls like that, but it's kind of the way it is. But to me, I love that because people are coming back at me on DMs and stuff and, oh, well, this is, you know, they were looking at it as a negative. And I didn't answer to any of it. I just let it go because to me, I found it ridiculous. And so when you were just talking about, well, hey, did you make the right read? Well, normally Tua makes most of the right reads. Tua rarely throws interceptions. In fact, the way I was looking at it is, it's a tool to help Tua and to help the coach. But I also think it's a tool that the coach is going to use to better his backup quarterbacks. Because he's going to want them to read and react the way his starter does. Because his starter does it better than most of the people in the league. Reading, reacting, accuracy, finding the right person, all of those things. So what I loved is people thought of the worst. When you're talking about the number one rated passer in the NFL. So this is just a coaching tool. And the way I looked at it as is that Tua's example will be better for Skyler and for Mike White. That's the way I looked at it.
This is the most competitive business in America, basically. Like pro sport, most competitive business in America. You keep your job by having as much information as possible to make
Amen.
The best decision possible.
Amen.
Putting a camera on your quarterback's face mask, whether or not he makes right decisions or wrong decisions, having that angle only adds to the arsenal of information, Amen. The wealth of information you have at your disposal.
Yep.
So yeah, put shit, man. If you can, well, you can't because everybody else knocks heads and hits. So you can't put cameras on everybody's helmet. But if you could, if there were a way to, I bet you they would.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I wouldn't be surprised if DBs are next because kind of the way you're reading and reacting and all those kind of things, then the DB coach can kind of say, hey, this is what I need you to look at when you're in this spot and all like, those kind of things. Cool, so
you get to see some people. Sometimes it's hard to be able to tell from, you know, it's hard to be able to teach based on like the all 22 angle. So to be able to have that first person angle and say, like, this is how they set up, this is how many receivers they're gonna stack, this is the routes they're going to run. Again, it can only help. Like, it would be cool to get that from a DB's perspective, or you know, even if they hire refs on the field and put a helmet or a camera on their helmet and use that practice foot. I don't know, but the depths are endless here. We'll hear from Mike about it on Wednesday, I believe that's the next time we are allowed at practice.
Yeah, because you weren't, but because they're already asking, like if you were slacking today, you weren't allowed in practice today. Could you just tell them, like, Jesus Christ?
Yeah, we don't get in every day. That's training camp, bro. Dude, I got some.
It's like, come on, bro. It's your job, dude. Yes, I mean, you know what I mean. It's like when it's open, you're there, bro. It's pretty automatic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. We only get like four or five practices open.
Maybe these are OTAs, guys. These are OTAs.
Yeah,
these
training camp.
Yeah,
it's every day.
Yeah, that's
training
different.
Camp, it's every day.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not slacking. It did like it made me nervous for like a hot second because even my editor called me on my way to breakfast on our way to breakfast this morning, and when I didn't answer, he texted me like, "Hey, are you at OTAs?" And I was like, he didn't know.
Right. He didn't know. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, like it's we don't get to be there every day.
No.
Okay.
Your impressions on Tua's physical presence that apparently looking a little thicker. Did you see it the same way?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I don't name drop people I was talking to just in case. You know, I like to play safe. But I was with another reporter, sitting with another reporter at practice, and he asked me, "Hey man, does Tua have extra pads on?" I was like, I don't look like it. You can tell when you got the extra pads on because it's that
right.
It's a weird ring around your ribs. It wasn't no extra pad. It looks like he's put on a little thickness this offseason. I don't know if that is part of the jiu-jitsu training regimen. I don't know. He has been working his core. He did tell us. I think the last time we spoke to him that he has been working his core. So
smart.
Maybe it shows.
Yeah,
maybe it shows, but
he has to work the core because he's only still in his second year removed from the hip surgery, and then two, you got to work your core because if you're a quarterback, bro, that's where all your power comes from in throwing, and if you want to throw at different angles or if you're a little off balance and those kind of things, that's the important part is having a strong core. So I think that's incredibly important for him. So it's not so much about punishment, it's also more about just personal strength. In order for you to excel at your position, you have to be as physically fit as possible. You know, we were talking about this with Omar yesterday, like Russell Wilson is like, bro, he's thick. Like, he's not a tall guy, but one of the reasons why he can stay durable, it's because, brother, he's built like a freaking fire hydrant. You know what I mean? And so Tua's always had like a pretty strong lower half. And so now probably working on that midsection and then the upper body now and build it up a little bit more without losing that flexibility. I think that's a really smart thing on his part.
Well, like I've said, we're having a discussion, some colleagues and I, about the era of the small quarterback, you know, of like, is Bryce Young the last hope of the small undersized quarterbacks? And he's like, you know, guys like Bryce Young, like Kyler, you know, like Tua. I was like, Tua's short, but he's a solid 215, 220.
Yeah.
220 pounds. Like, it's not like Bryce Young is smaller than me. Like, Bryce Young is not even 6 foot, 5'10".
No, he's like 5'10".
5'10",
yeah.
190 pounds.
Yeah.
Did he technically clock in it too? Bryce Young is short and small. Kyler Young is short.
Thick.
Tua is short.
Kyler's thick. I'll give Kyler some credit. He has some thickness to him. Besides being impossible to catch, because he is impossible. I was scared of Kyler Murray because I like him as a passer. I think he has it as a passer. You know, he's got to figure everything else out. But I was terrified of him taking hits. But then I learned you can't catch him. So that's going to help him for several years. Eventually, as he gets older, then maybe he'll slow down a little bit. But my Lord, that young man, you can't catch. Holy shit.
No. But wow. He is. That's got to be the most frustrating. It's like watching your favorite team play Lamar.
Yes.
Like, it's
elusive. Yes.
Like the first 2.5 quarters of in week two last year for Dolphins fans watching the Ravens game. Like, that was every nightmare you've ever had of playing Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Or shit, probably better yet would be, week one, 2019?
Right.
That, like, 50 to zero. That's it. That's it. They've gotten better. But, like, it sometimes watching those guys play your favorite team, there's just a handful of athletes that, like, you kind of, like, watch the game through your hands. Like, for me, watching the Kings play the Warriors, watching Steph Curry drop fucking 50 points in Game 7, like, I'm sitting on my couch, like, peeking every time he touched the ball because, like, I can't – it was a gut punch every single damn dribble. Like, Kyler, it can be one of those guys when he's really in his – when he's really in his groove. It's like,
I hope he matures and figures it out because – The Lord gave him the opportunity and the blessing to, like, I never thought Ryan Tannehill could ever figure it out because I think his brain is scatterbrained and he doesn't read things well when just, you know, things go awry. If it's all on script, he'll be fine as a game manager. But Kyler Murray's got it, bro. He just needs to dedicate himself to it. And he has every chance to be a good quarterback in this league, dude. Every chance to be a really good quarterback in this league. It's just really up to him. All right, A-Chain, because I'm not going to ask you on OTAs, you know, oh, what's looking great, this, that, whatever, you know. But the A-Chain kid, as an athlete, what did you see out there that impressed you?
The versatility, the smoothness in which he can get in and out of his breaks as a receiver. I think was really impressive. I think we really need to start again. Wide receiver three is going to be more of a construct than a literal position.
I agree.
Sometimes it'll be Durham. Sometimes it'll be Berrios. Sometimes it'll be Mostert. Sometimes it'll be, you know what I mean?
H.A.
is going to be in that conversation as a receiver. I can't really say again. This is tiptoe season, so I got to be careful about what I can and can't disclose. But I can say he was impressive as a receiver, and I saw enough of him catching passes to say, wow, this kid is going to be something. I can't wait for the pads to come on so that, you know, we can really tell when he gets away and when he can't.
I know that a lot of us were a little wowed with Tanner Connor last year. The raw athleticism, the raw speed that we saw, but again, key word raw. He's in for a world of hurt. I think. I hope he grew up and grew up quickly, because getting Higgy with it, I think was going to take. I only think one of those guys will make it. To be quite honest, the other guy either ends up on the practice squad or in somebody else's team or CFL or something. But I think. You know, from what I saw highlights and then watching him in that TO interview, I think he's there, bro. I like him mentally and physically. I think he's in for a world of hurt in that competition. So I'm wondering, what'd you see with getting Higgy with it?
I think Tanner Connor moves a little better with the ball in his hands.
Oh, I know. I know the raw speed is there. It's the player I'm worried about. It's the player.
Like, I mean, it's still really early to be able to tell guys apart, especially after just one practice we get to see.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said last time I was on the show, I'm not ready to count Tanner Connor out.
No, not at all.
That was an electric. It was an electric training camp we saw out of him last year. It just didn't translate on game day, or maybe it didn't
right.
translate on the practice field. He was hurt for a lot of the season. And there just wasn't really a path for him to get playing time with Gesicki and Smythe still in the field. And I just kind of thought about it. They don't have – no, Shaheen's a free agent. They technically did have Shaheen last year, but he was on IR. I always forget about him, but, you know, neither here nor there. I don't think the competition is decided yet. I don't even know if anybody's got an edge in it quite yet. I just know that I think Higgins is the better – you know, over the top receiver.
He just looks more polished is the thing. Okay. That like I don't know, the other kid has got ability, there's no doubt, but I didn't see a polished product there. I saw a really rough diamond. Whereas for me, Higgins, he looks pretty polished. He's really mature. I really like his attitude. So I'm saying this is going to be a tough competition for Tanner in a big time way. They brought somebody in that could really take his job. That's all I'm saying.
It is a welcome to the league moment. You know, there's a lot of different ways to welcome somebody into the league. One of which is by bringing in direct competition right away. You can never get comfortable.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. All right. What else? Give me something else that stood out to you that you liked or disliked.
There's not going to be any surprises at quarterback. It's not going to be any surprises at quarterback.
So you're with Omar that you were unimpressed with Mike White? Is that because Omar says he was unimpressed with his arm? So I'm just wondering, is that
what
you're...
I'll say it this way too. I'll say it this way again. Just like Tanner Carter, I'm not going to count Skylar Thompson out.
Right.
Quite yet. I think he looked a little better that day. He looked better on Tuesday. You know, like it's hard to say now in this time of year and come training camp. Like last year in training camp, when we saw Skylar outperform Teddy Bridgewater day in and day out, then that's something to put some real stock into. I think he just had a better day of practice. He just had a better day of practice on Tuesday, but I'm not willing to count him out yet. But the other kid, Blackman, I don't see. And I think there's one more who I keep forgetting about, but like I'm not gonna. He's not gonna make the roster. the fifth quarterback on the spring practice depth chart is not gonna make the roster. But I think it would be kind of interesting just to see how things play out between Skylar and Mike White. I don't think it's in the bag quite yet. The only thing Mike does have over him is he's got that in-game experience, that big number games experience,
right?
To where we've seen his ability to be a gamer. We've seen that. So, but I thought it was pretty interesting. To say the least.
Did any of the young guys catch your eyes? Undrafted free agents? Any of that physically? Anything catch your eye out there?
I wouldn't say no. It is technically Underwear Olympics out there, Bill. Right. But
tell you what, Jalen Phillips looks like he's physically ready to have a hell of a season.
If these are the Underwear Olympics, then Jalen Phillips wins the gold, I guess. Like the guy is already one of the bigger people I've ever been around in my life, and that's being around football players, NFL players for the past 5 years. He's just taking it to the next level. It's insane. He looks physically ready to play.
I said this already for a couple months, so it has nothing to do with the picture that came out now from him at camp. 10 plus sacks this year. It was brewing last year. You could see he was figuring it out. He was right there on several sacks. I'm telling you, this is the year he breaks out. This is the year that he busts out, and people like all around the league will start talking about Jalen Phillips being one of the better pass rushers. Watch. It's going to happen this year.
He's gonna break out. Phillips and Holland, I think, are right on that Pro Bowl.
With those two corners? Oh, my God. Javon Holland is going to have a field day with those two corners, because you're going to be forced to work the middle of the field. And you're now going to play into Javon Holland's hands. So have fun with that. That's going to be a lot of fun, because quarterbacks are going to be worried about going after Jalen and X. So they're going to test the third and fourth quarters, and they're going to test the linebackers, and they're going to test the safeties. And Javon Holland will not have to worry so much about the islands. So he'll just worry about the peninsula in the middle. And that's it,
baby. I was talking to obviously I'm still friends with a lot of media and non-traditional media guys in Buffalo. I was talking to one of them the other day and said, look, man, more people need to be on board with a reality in which the Dolphins win the AFC East. Like, I'm not as impressed with the Bills as I was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Just look how Miami played them all three times this year, even completely injury riddled with a third quarterback. Come on, man. Last year was about injuries for Miami. This year, if they're healthy and the pieces they added, oh, man.
Like, I think that Aaron Rodgers is like Josh Allen is such a star, and Aaron Rodgers was such a massive, like, attention drawing decision that people are not talking about the Vic Fangio the Vic Fangio addition. But that is a game, that's a team changing, that is a trajectory altering hire.
Yep.
Right. Yep. That is a legendary.
That gives you your balance finally, because you had some defense because Flo could coach defense, but you couldn't figure out the offense. And that, by the way, Marcel, I just want you to know, since you stepped into our world here, that's been going on for over two decades. Jimmy Johnson, new defense, he destroyed the offense. Once that new defense, couldn't figure out the offense. You know, that's kind of the way it is. And then, you know, like last year, you kind of, you needed the defense, but you only had offense. And that's kind of been our problem. It's, there's never been that balance. When you had Sperano, you had that wildcat and all that, and you had a crappy offense, but you were living off of the defense. And they've never had that balance. And your point is exceptional because Mike McDaniel came in, figured out the offense. Now it was his job to go find somebody to figure out the defense. And this is the first time in years that the Dolphins have two competent people on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I think, look, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not saying the Bills are going to be a bad team or that, like, it's not going to be a battle.
No, of course
for
not.
AFC East because of Josh Allen. Like, it's why in week three, it's why I didn't care how many players they had hurt on defense. I've said it again and again and again. It does not matter because that guy is so damn good at this game. That's what superstar quarterbacks do. Pat Mahomes can go out there with Miami Northwestern's JV team and lead a scoring drive on, but the guy, he's that good. Like, right. They are that good. That's right. What a superstar does. And as long as they have that superstar, they're going to be in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But that roster construction does not look as impressive as it did a couple years ago. They've thrived on adding, you know, second cast off vets who, you know, maybe were overlooked, they were fired, they were cut, they were injury prone, this and that. And they made a name off of that. But as far as building a team through the draft, you look at the Bills' past few drafts, man. Like, between that and the Dolphins, the Jets, it's not comparable. They're beating the Patriots just because Bill, I convinced, is throwing names, darts at a board to draft players over the past couple of years. But, like, the Bills haven't been that far ahead of them. So I don't know, man. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing some real football being played because there is a very real reality, very likely reality in which the Dolphins walk away with the AFC East this year.
Oh, they will. They're winning the AFC East.
There's enough talent. There's enough talent. I think Lewis Riddick even went on Get Up, one of the shows, to say it today. And I don't consider Lewis Riddick a BSer.
No, he's good, bro. He's one of the few guys that I actually respect and listen to and like what he has to say a lot of times. I think he's pretty damn objective, actually, overall. All right, what do you got going on ESPN so folks can check you out, my friend?
Oh, man. I'm actually taking this weekend off. I'm going to be completely honest. Haley's in town for the week. Little brother actually lands in about an hour and a half, you know, family affair, taking it light, taking it easy. Monitoring Christian Wilkins' situation, although I don't expect any development there over the next week.
Not till June, right? Not until they free up the money anyways.
Yeah, like it's not really, you know, monitoring. Huh? I'm on call.
What date is it? What date in June is it when that shit happens with Byron Jones? Is it on the 1st?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. So it's right around the corner. I love it. June 1st is going to be big, dude. All of Asia will be investing in crypto. And then obviously this. Hey, listen, we got to have priorities in life here, okay? Crypto is always a priority. Anyway, follow him on Twitter at Marcel_LJ and catch him doing his thing here with the Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report. Marcel, as always, thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
You got it. There you go. Marcel Louis-Jacques. And when we talk about Welton Realm, bankruptcy, homeowner property damage, condo damage, criminal defense, business owner claims, commercial litigation, personal injury. Listen, if you're dealing with the storm issues here from the last couple of weeks and you're tired of that insurance company giving you the runaround, call Welton Realm, please. Free consultation. You can call them from wherever you're at. You can do it all by phone, pretty much. Maybe the only time you go to the office is to pick up a check. 954-966-4646. The consultation's completely free. Ask for Jeff. Tell him that Big O sent you. Jeff Welt, great people, man. I'm telling you. Go to the website, wrflalaw.com. That's wrflalaw.com. Welt and Rayom, Florida Law.com. FLA WRLaw.com. Really easy. Welton Rayom, WR. Can't forget it, bro. Super easy. Call Jeff, and I'm telling you, they will take care of you. When Progressive was screwing with us, we called Welton Rayom, and brother, they crushed him. I'll never call the insurance company ever again. Ever. If I have an accident, something happens in my home, business, whatever, I'm going to call Welton Rayom first. They have their own adjusters. They send their adjusters, and then they contact the insurance company. You never have to worry about it. You'll never get a headache. You'll never get an ulcer. You'll never have to deal with any of those idiots from the insurance company. They're great at collecting your premium. They're terrible having to live up to their responsibilities to cover your costs. So call Welton Rayom, 954-966-4646.